Now, for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about taking time to love. Billy Rose once told a story about a young man and his father who had a small farm. Several times a year, they would make their trip to market with an ox cart loaded with vegetables. The son was impatient. He wanted to get there. He would always prod the ox with a stick to hurry it along. His father, however, believed in following a more leisurely gait. The son wanted to get to the market the first thing the next morning in order to beat the other vendors to the best spot. The father, however, had other priorities. At one point, as they were going to market, they passed by the boy's uncle's house. The father stopped the ox and went in to chat with his brother for more than an hour. When they started out again on their way, they came to a fork in the road. Well, the young man wanted to take the fork off to the left because it was faster for them to get to town. But the father turned the oxen towards the right, and because it was prettier. While it was still twilight, the father chose the loveliest spot of all to stop for the night, because they had to spend the night on the road. And the son, in anger, said, "You're more interested in flowers than you are in making money." Well, his father replied, "That's the nicest thing you've said to me in a long time." The next morning, the impatient young man woke his father well before sunrise, and they hitched up the oxen, and they again made their way toward the city. A short distance along the way, they came upon another farmer whose cart had stuck in a ditch, and the father said, "Let's give him a hand." And the young man protested, but he knew he might as well do his part or they would simply be delayed that much longer. By this time, it was almost 8 o'clock in the morning. Suddenly, a great flash of lightning split the sky. And then there was the thunder beyond the hills. And the sky grew very dark. And the father said, "Looks like a big rain in the city." And the son said, "Well, yes, if we had been on time, we would have been sold out by now." The father said, "Well, take it easy, son. It'll last longer." It wasn't until late in the afternoon that they got to the top of the hill overlooking the town. They looked down at it for a long time. Neither of them spoke a word. Finally, the young man, who had been in such a hurry, said very quietly, "I see what you mean, Father." And then they turned their cart around and drove away from what had once been the city of Hiroshima. Linger with that story in your mind for just a few moments. Now let's consider another. This time it's in the scene of a play. It's Thornton Wilder's classic play, Our Town. And I remember as a young boy in high school that our high school put on Our Town. It was a really wonderful play. I want to take you to the scene where Emily dies. After her death, she goes to the graveyard. There she is told that she can return to her home and witness one day in her life, any time in her life. And she was asked which day she would like. And she said, "Oh, I remember how happy I was on my 12th birthday." And all the people in the graveyard said, "Emily, don't do it. Don't do it, Emily." But she wanted to. And she wants to see her mama and daddy again. So the scene switches, and there she is, 12 years old, And she's gone back in time to that wonderful day she remembers. And she comes down the stairs in a pretty dress. But her mother's so busy making cake for her birthday that she cannot stop long enough to look at her. And she says, "Mama, look at me. I'm the birthday gal." And her mom says, "Fine, birthday gal, sit down and have your breakfast." And Emily stands there and says, "Mama, look at me." But Mama doesn't. And then Papa comes in. But he's so busy making money for her that he never looks at her either. And neither does her brother. And the scene ends with her standing in the middle of the stage and saying, "Please, somebody, look at me. I don't need the cake or the money. Just please look at me." But nobody does. She turns to her mother once again and once more and says, "Please, Mama." And then she turns sorrowfully to the stage manager of the play and she says, "Take me away. I've forgotten what it was like to be human. No one looks at anybody. Nobody cares anymore, do they?" Well, actually, we do care. But sometimes we forget. We forget to take time to love. We need to read the New Testament in order to get our priorities rearranged. The New Testament tells us that the very reason for our being here is love. God is love. We were created from love and for love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. And that was the song written years ago in the 60s by a writer. That song is almost a prayer. Remember how it goes? "Lord, we don't need another mountain. We don't need a river. We don't need a valley. What we need," he says, "is love." And he's right. But if there is a shortage of love in this world, it's certainly not God's fault. "See how the Father hath loved us," writes John in one of his letters. You and I would be here all day if we tried to count the ways in which God has bombarded us with the evidence of his love. Just to start with, we could name the sunshine and the rain and the flowers and the tiny babies and the doting grandparents. The list just goes on and on and on. As Emily says in another part of our town play, "O earth, I never realized how truly wonderful you are. And this wonderful earth is God's gift to us." But even more impressive than all these material blessings is the gift of God's Son. Suddenly, God's love was given to us in form and flesh and substance. I heard about a father who was getting bored reading bedtime stories to his little daughter. So he bought a record player and some very polished recordings of her favorite stories. But she didn't like the records. She pleaded with her father to read the stories to her. And the father protested, but he says, "I bought you that nice recorder, that player, record player." And his daughter said, "Yes, but the record player doesn't have a lap." In Jesus Christ, God gave us his word, complete with a lap. And there is Jesus holding the little child in his arms. He is dining with Zacchaeus, bringing love into a despised man's home. His arms are open in forgiveness. His hands are outstretched in healing. His lips speak words of hope to those in despair. And finally, he hangs on a cross And the centurion whispers, surely this man was the Son of God. He was all that and more. The Apostle Paul writes, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Clarence Jordan in the Cotton Patch version of the scriptures translates it something like this. God was in Jesus, hugging the world to himself. Love is woven into the very fabric of creation. We're not surprised then that when Jesus was asked what the great, great commandment was, that he answered in our scripture for this morning in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Nor can we escape the obligation to love, because when we cease loving, we cease being human. Ralph Stockman, one of the great preachers years ago, once noted that Teokai Kagawa, the Japanese Christian leader, distinguished his three levels of love. The first of which is physical love, which holds people together and holds families together. Above this level is a plane which Kagawa calls psychic love. Psychic love includes our association with friendships and professionals and social groups, and in all those relationships which rest on a community of mental tastes. And then Kagawa then designates a still higher level of love based on conscience. He says, if one is walking along the road with an enemy on his right hand and a sinner on his left hand, and if he can walk with them without accusing them, or if he can halt his progress to help them, then he has risen to the plane of conscientious love. Such was the love that Jesus manifested and to which he summons his followers, bidding them to do good to those who hate him. Most people love on a very primitive level, loving only those who love them. But Jesus calls us to experience a very special kind of love. In his autobiography, Dr. A.J. Cronin tells about a neighboring family, the Adamsons. The Adamses Mr. Adams was an accountant in New York City, but he loved to spend all the hours he could working in his garden in their Connecticut home, accompanied by his only son, Sammy. When World War II broke out, Mrs. Adams suggested that they take a refugee child into their home. Mr. Adams was not enthusiastic about it at first, but finally he agreed. And the child who eventually came to them and lived with them was a little orphan boy from Central Europe with the name of Paul. Unfortunately, as Paul learned the language of his benefactors, he seemed to find it useful only as a means of manipulating the truth into lies. He found it easy to steal, and he showed no affection to the Adams. He did, however, develop a close friendship with Adams' little son, Sammy. One day, Paul, in direct violation of instructions, went swimming in a polluted stream near their home, came home with an infection that brought with it a raging fever. Because of the possibility of contagion, Paul was put in a separate room, and Sammy was told never to go into that room and visit Paul. Paul eventually came through the crisis, but one morning the family found that Sammy had crawled into bed with Paul, and they were breathing into each other's faces. 4 days later, Sammy died. Dr. Cronin remembers writing to Henry Adams and urging him to get rid of Paul, who had brought them only heartache and trouble. But when Dr. Cronin returned from a trip 6 months later and went to visit the Adams, he was surprised to see the familiar sight of a man and a boy working side by side in the garden. The boy was Paul. Dr. Cronin said, You still have him? And then he said, yes, Henry replied, and he is doing better now. And then Dr. Cronin said, all I can say to you, Paul, is that you're a mighty lucky fellow. And then Henry Adams interrupted and he said, Dr. Cronin, you don't need to worry about Paul anymore. He is Paul Adams. We have adopted him. Now that's the kind of love that the world really needs. Take time to love. Love those closest to you, but do more than that. Walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Learn to love every person with whom you come in contact. And that kind of love can still save our world. To have that kind of love, we have to know that God loves you and me with unconditional love. God loves us just as we are right now, with all of our shortcomings, all of our mistakes, and all of our past, and all of our sins. God loves us unconditionally, and God wants to help us. But God can't help us unless we ask him to come into our lives and forgive us and help us. And now is the time to ask God to come into our lives and forgive and help us. In a moment of silent prayer, let's ask God to come into our lives and help us. Just pray, Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive me, and help me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, come into our lives with your love this morning. Help us to experience your unconditional forgiveness of all of our mistakes and sins of the past, and lead us in the way that will give us strength and peace and happiness, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.